Hi, I'm Trevor Pinch from Cornell University in the United States.
And I'm Mark Lane here at RFI in Paris.
Welcome to WebWatch,
your weekly view of new technologies.
Well, Mark, I hope you got to the RFI studio in the middle of Paris okay today, and that your journey wasn't disrupted by protesting taxi drivers.
This being France, there's always a strike about something. Yesterday it was the metro.
There was a coordinated strike of taxis throughout Europe. They're protesting a web startup called Uber.
Oh, that strike was on Tuesday, I think. Uber is the online mobile taxi service where, with a GPS and a mobile app, you can summon a taxi anywhere and the driver uses an app to calculate your fare.
Now, Mark, I recall many years ago, let's say earlier in your illustrious career, that you actually worked for a while as a minicab driver in London. So what do you have to say about Uber? In Spain, they were protesting, even though Uber isn't yet available in Spain. They just don't want it set up there at all.
And I can tell you why. In London, being a proper cab driver is a badge of honour. Not everyone can get to drive a black cab, known as a hackney cab. It requires a lot of training, and then you have to pass a test called the knowledge, which means you not only have to know every street in London, but every shortcut between every street. It can take years to acquire the knowledge. London cab drivers are also some of the most knowledgeable people in the world. Medical tests show that one part of the brain actually gets bigger.
You won't believe that? And of course, the best bit about a tourist riding a cab in London is that you can guarantee at least one cheeky Cockney conversational encounter. Unlike in New York, where you're lucky if the cab driver understands a word of English, and where even with the streets laid out in the simple grid structure in Manhattan, you often end up having to explain to the cab driver how to find and drive to your destination.
And just remember, the quality of the motor you ride in with a proper taxi. Not only the brilliantly designed, safe and roomy hackney cab in London, but in every German city, where they have that fleet of yellow Mercedes ready to ferry you around.
Yeah, very nice, but we've done the nostalgia thing. Let's get real. The number of times cabbies have refused to pick me up in London. Sorry, mate, not going that way. And the price is exorbitant. No wonder cabs these days are all equipped to take credit cards.
So I guess Uber, funded by Google and Goldman Sachs, is offering the Silicon Valley solution of consumer choice aligned with high-tech, threatening to destroy yet another great service industry as it did to travel agents through Expedia and the online booking of flights and hotels, or record stores, where you used to be able to hang out and get into the real music scene before iTunes and YouTube destroyed all that.
Yeah, but Uber gets around closed shops and overregulated industries. Their drivers are freelancers who work when and where they like and employ GPS and smartphones to find you and your destination. Now, many Americans are starting to use it in US cities. The company has expanded globally into more than 100 cities in 36 countries. Silicon Valley's biggest investors, you're right, they give it a value close to a staggering $17 billion.
Now, professional cab drivers argue that Uber does not comply with local rules and does not pay the same level of taxes as conventional taxi owners and drivers.
The New York Times, in an article, is quoting one cabbie who joined the recent protest in London. And they clogged the roads for hours, these protests, by the way. Here's what he says. There's room for everyone, but you have to obey the law. Uber isn't properly regulated. It's a slippery slope. Quality of life will go down if these services are allowed to operate.
Well spoken, sir. And also, cab drivers in London are regulated by the Transport for London Authority, which monitors the meters in every licensed cab, so no cheating can occur. I hear Uber gets around this by saying its app, which calculates the fare, is not actually a meter, as it is not fixed in the cab.
Now, you listen to what Pierre-Dimitri Gore-Coty, Uber's regional general manager for Northern Europe, has to say about the taxi service in a city not too far from where you are now. Here's what he says. In Paris, the number of taxis hasn't changed since the 1950s. The strikes are an attempt to desperately fight against competition in the market.
No, it's about the quality of the service.
And the strikes and protests, inevitable disruption to travel, they do only one thing.
What's that?
Of course, they attract more people to use Uber. After the strike last week, Uber said it had a whopping 850% increase in people signing up in Britain. I read that in Paris and Lyon, Uber is offering a 50% discount to woo new customers.
You realise this is the end of true civilisation as we know it.
Spoken like a true ex-cabbie. Anyway, Mark, it's time to go. I hear you're taking the metro home today. Good luck. I'm out of here as well. Just texting Uber now. What does it say? Taxi here. And let me see. Oh, 10 minutes. And that's all we've got time for today. So it's goodbye from me, Trevor, at Cornell University.
And it's goodbye from me, Mark, here at RFI in Paris. We hope you'll be with us next week on WebWatch.